This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. The integration of women into the once all-male preserve of the U.S. military is predicated in no small part on the idea that as awkward and as difficult as the transition may be, it will get much easier as new generations of officers take command, male and female officers trained to work together from the very beginning. That premise faces serious challenges. The most recent and among the most serious is a long-running sex scandal at the United States Air Force Academy. According to the testimony of dozens of women cadets, sexual assaults occurred there repeatedly and were covered up. And some women were punished for bringing complaints. Yesterday, the first independent panel to investigate the scandal presented its conclusions. The Civilian Commission found that top Air Force officials and members of Congress have known of sexual misconduct problems at the Academy for at least a decade and failed to take effective action. While the report cited serious lapses in leadership, it did not identify those responsible. Later in this program, an update from California, where the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has reversed an earlier decision and put the recall back on track for October 7th, just 2 weeks from today. But first, the sex scandal at the Air Force Academy. How serious is it? And how indicative is it of the situation for women in the military as a whole? If you've had military experience, or if your son or daughter is, or thinking about joining the military, give us a call. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And our email address is totn@npr.org. Joining us now is Tilly Fowler. She's the chair of the panel that investigated sexual misconduct at the U.S. Air Force Academy. She joins us from her office here in Washington. It's good of you to be with us on Talk of the Nation.
Thanks, Neil. Good to be with you today.
First of all, how big a problem is this or was this at the Academy?
Well, it was a big problem. And this over the last 10 years, which is what we have the information on, there were 142 known allegations of sexual assault, which comes down to about 14 a year. And even more disturbing than that figure is the fact that as they've done these surveys, they've shown that probably 80% of the incidents were never reported. So if you add, you know, what that figure could end up being on top of the 142, you've got a lot of instances of sexual assault problems occurring.
Who knew? How far up did this go?
Well, that's one of the things we have asked for the Defense Department Inspector General to do a thorough investigation of the last 10 years of the leadership, both at the Academy and at the Air Force headquarters, because from our investigation, as you know, we only had a 90-day time frame within which we could do our investigation. The statute that set us up gave us 90 days to do it in, and we covered a lot of ground in that time, but there's more that needs to be done, and we think there needs to be a thorough investigation of leadership accountability as to who knew what and when and who was responsible. We put a timeline out with our report with what information we had gleaned, but time and again we would see where a study was done or a report was brought forward, and then Air Force headquarters either took no action or would defer back to the Academy, and then the Academy wouldn't move forward, or they would put a program in place that then fell by the wayside after a year or two. Because part of the problem is, you know, you have in the military, leadership changes. People are in and out every 2 to 3 years, and things would not carry forward. There's been no continuity of oversight or supervision of this for a long time.
Is that one of the problems? I mean, the commandant of the U.S. Air Force Academy, it's sort of developed into a billet where a fast-track officer gets another important post on his ticket punched.
That's right. The average stay for a commandant's been 18 to 24 months, which is way too short. We're recommending that the commandant be there for 3 years and the superintendent be there for 4 years.
And the problems of oversight and accountability, I guess, those certainly go to the commandant. As you suggest, they may go higher into the command of the Air Force. But it's also the responsibility of every officer in the Air Force. There's an honor code there.
Well, there is. There is an honor code at the Air Force Academy. And I do want to say the vast majority of cadets at the Air Force Academy are law-abiding, honorable young people. You know, it's a small minority who have created these problems, but we don't want anyone going into the Air Force as an officer who has committed these types of offenses. So the question is how to root these out, how to prevent them from occurring in the future, and if they do occur, how to hold these young people more accountable and how to have processes and procedures in place whereby young women victims can feel comfortable reporting.
There was some controversy over this panel as it was being biased against women in the military. Do you think there was any basis for that criticism?
No, and I think our report shows that. I never was quite sure where that came from. I mean, I chair it. I was a member of Congress for 8 years on the Armed Services Committee and was always very clear that I was a supporter of women in the military. So I don't think, and we've had our panel talk about, I mean, women are an integral part of our military. 15% of the military force are women. We could not have an all-volunteer force without women. So we took that as a given, that that's a positive influence in our military, and moved forward.
Mm-hmm. And of course, that's what the Air Force and all of the services say. This is our policy. We want to make it happen. We want to make it happen in a fair and a way, and it's going to happen. We're going to do that. We can order people to do it if necessary. But if you go back to the persistence of this problem at the Air Force Academy, it does suggest that there's a problem with the culture there.
Well, there is. There is definitely a problem with the culture and the climate, and this is something that isn't going to change overnight. It's going to take several years, I think, to do so. When they do surveys, and of the male cadets surveyed, when roughly 20 to 25% say they don't want women at the Air Force Academy,
mm-hmm.
that's a concern. And we need to, you know, make sure that these young people have better training and better education to understand and appreciate the reason that women are at the Air Force Academy and the reason they are critical to the military. We have suggested that the Center for Character Development, which was a great program started by General Hosmer in 1994, and over the years became really just a place to go hear a few speeches, you know, and lost its importance, needs to get reinvigorated, needs to establish programs that every year cadets are required to attend, that they use a method by which it's, you know, some people call it a case study method, where you inculcate these values into these cadets' daily lives so that they learn about character and values and ethics. I mean, this is important, and it needs to be emphasized more and more at academies like the Air Force Academy.
In a way, this should have come as no surprise after there have been scandals in other academies, not as profound as this. Tailhook, obviously, that whole set of issues in the Navy. Why is
that? Was not an academy.
No, it was not an academy, but certainly indicates that the problem was not eliminated at the academy. And, you know, what do those sorts of incidents suggest about, you know, A, the service's ability to learn from what is going on in their sister services, and B, their the priorities that they put on this issue?
Well, I think, you know, unfortunately, the Air Force sort of was acting on its own out at the academy. They are isolated. They're sort of removed from the rest, and sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad. But they were sort of in their own little world out there, and they would had come up with their own program on reporting for sexual assaults, which was not a program that was approved in the Air Force. Time and again, there were questions raised about it, and nothing seemed to be done. You know, or you'd get someone in there who would start some type of new program, as I said earlier, and then it wouldn't continue. So I'm very, though, thing that's good, I think, is the new leadership at the Academy. We are very impressed. The whole panel is impressed with the new leaders. General Rosa, who is the new superintendent, the Commandant, General Wider, and Colonel Gray are all outstanding. They are already working to put new procedures in place. Secretary Roche and General Jumper really acted quickly once it was brought to their attention in January, and they came forward with this agenda for change, which, while not perfect, was a beginning, an initial start that needed to be done. And so I really commend the current leadership for the actions that they have been taking and are continuing. And they understand this is evolving. This isn't set in stone, but you've got to start somewhere, you know, and keep it moving and keep this change occurring. So we are encouraged by the attitudes and the actions of the new leadership with the Air Force and the Air Force Academy. And we think that is a positive thing. Our concern is down the road, is it going to continue? So we have supported what the Secretary of the Air Force has recommended as an executive steering group that would be within the Pentagon that would have continuous oversight over these issues at the Air Force Academy. We suggested that be made a permanent group. Right now it just has a one-year life, and we think something like that is needed to be permanent. So no matter who comes and goes in their positions at the Academy or in the Air Force, there will be this continuous group that has that oversight responsibility.
Let's get a listener involved, and Monica joins us now on the line from Milford, Indiana.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I am calling because I have a question and comment. First of all, my sister has been in the Navy for 12 years, and she's an IS specialist, which would be an intelligence specialist, and she's happened to run into situations where I'm not sure what level she is, but it's higher up. she has ran into situations where it's hard for men under her to take orders from her. And my thing would be, is when I heard this story, is knowing my sister, is she would go to any route to report this to a higher up. And would there not have been somehow, let me blend my questions here.
Mm-hmm.
In this academy, do they have anyone that, like, in these classrooms or whatever it might be, where people that sit in to critique these things, where that some of these women could have come to these people with their problems? And I guess the reason I ask this question, if there's no one to come to, because knowing my sister, she'd be kicking butt.
Mm-hmm.
She'd be finding somewhere, somehow, to go to a higher up to report these people. And that's the only way that these men under her sometimes actually respect her.
Well, Tilly Fowler, it's obviously a different service and a different situation, but I think you understand the question.
I do. And unfortunately, what happened in the climate of the Air Force Academy, so many of these young women felt that if they reported, either nothing would be done about it or they would be ostracized, their peers would be rejecting them. There was a combination of reasons that had been given for many of these young women not reporting. There is a program there called the CASI program, which is called, it's Cadets Advocating Sexual Information and Education, where you could go to a cadet who was, you know, in that program and report an offense, and then the cadet would advise you and move you through the system. There's also a cadet counseling center, but neither system seemed to be working very well, and so that was part of the problem. And the really attitude among so many of the young women that the leadership was not going to take it seriously, the leadership was not going to help them through this traumatic situation, and that they would also be rejected by many of their peers, that this was viewed as a failure, that this was allowed to happen. And there's this sort of graduate or die mentality at these service academies that it's so difficult to get through them, and people are trying their best to just hang in there and graduate, and something like this could derail your career.
Tilly Fowler, thanks very much for being with us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Neil. Good to be with you.
Tilly Fowler, chair of the panel which investigated reports of sexual misconduct at the U.S. Air Force Academy. She joined us from her office here in Washington. Joining us in Studio 3A is Pam Zubek. She's been covering the scandal at the Air Force Academy for the Colorado Springs Gazette, and it's good of you to be with us on Talk of the Nation.
Thanks.
What do you think of this? These findings, as the former congresswoman was saying, they did not have an awful lot of time, 3 months, to do this investigation, but a lot of people saying it's not going far enough.
I think this commission was very bold in its findings, and I think the Senate and the House will be pleased with the direction that they went, and particularly to recommend that the DODIG undertake additional investigation. I think they fulfilled their mission.
That's the Inspector General. And that's the level at which, if individuals are to be held accountable, either for lack of supervision or for participating in some of these sexual assaults, that's the level at which it would be addressed, the Inspector General.
They would make findings that would be recommendations made, I presume, to the Air Force or the Senate.
Okay, to the and ultimately perhaps to the Judge Advocate Corps.
Right.
So there are four investigations underway. This was just one of them, and the second one to come to its conclusions. What are we still waiting for?
We're waiting for an investigation by the Air Force Inspector General and the Department of Defense Inspector General, other than this new one that's mm-hmm. been called for. But this investigation was much anticipated because it was the first independent one, as you noted earlier.
Okay, we're going to talk more about this when we come back from a short break. If you'd like to join our conversation, the phone number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Our email address is totn@npr.org. We're going to be speaking with a spokesperson for the U.S. Air Force and with two former military aviators, one of whom is now a member of Congress. I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're discussing the problem of sexual misconduct in the military and in specific at the U.S. Air Force Academy. Our guest is Pam Zubeck, who's a reporter for the Colorado Springs Gazette. If you'd like to join the conversation, our phone number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Email us, TOTN@NPR.org. We'd especially like to hear from people who have served in the military and have some experience with this. Pam Zubeck, I wanted to ask you, when we're talking about sexual misconduct, sexual assault, were we talking about rape here?
Not always, actually. And that's one of the complications of a lot of these investigations is that for quite some time, the Academy was operating under a definition of sexual assault that was so wide that it took in unwanted touching and such. So how many of these 142 sexual assaults were actually rape would be difficult to determine. Plus, when they came forward maybe a week later, maybe 3 months later, in some cases a year later.
And in some many years later.
Yes. Then it's easy to see how it would be next to impossible to prosecute. And so
we will be left not knowing what the facts of certain cases, I guess, are going to be.
Exactly.
Thus far, who, if anyone, has been held accountable?
There's been one former superintendent who has been demoted from a 3-star general to a 2-star general upon his retirement earlier this month. And that's all so far. However, the secretary and the chief of staff have indicated that they are prepared to take action if given ample evidence.
Joining us now is Lieutenant Colonel Dewey Ford. He's a spokesperson for the U.S. Air Force. He's with us from his office at the Pentagon in Arlington, Virginia. And good of you to join us today on Talk of the Nation.
Thank you, Neil.
What's the Air Force response to the Fowler Commission's report?
Well, we just got it yesterday afternoon, so we appreciate this valuable input they've given us. We're going to review it now and take appropriate action. We want to make sure that the culture at the Air Force Academy reflects the high standards that we have for all the members of the Air Force, so, and this report will help us get there.
And obviously, it's early days yet, but on the basis of this report, what action do you think the Air Force might go ahead and make?
Well, you know, we've got an aggressive agenda for change that we implemented back in March. We've got a new leadership team out there, and they've been implementing that agenda for change very aggressively. As far as the specifics in Ms. Fowler and her panel's report, we've got a team out at the Academy right now that's looking through that, and we'll work with DOD and figure out the way ahead here.
As she suggested, she was also very enthusiastic about the changes when we spoke with Representative Fowler a few moments ago and applaud some of the changes. But I guess one of the questions that comes up in the report and one that everybody has now is, what took so long? Why did it take 10 years? Why did it take a scandal?
You would like to think that it would have been handled earlier. When we did our working group report earlier this year, we noted that there had been different levels of attention paid to the sexual assault issue over the years. But in January, this came to our attention of the current secretary and the current chief of staff. And as soon as they received an email from a victim, as soon as they got that, we started the working group report in March. Did the agenda for change, completed the working group in June, and we've had, a new leadership team in place out there. So since January, when we've had a chance to act on it, we have done so aggressively.
Pam Zubeck, let me bring you into this. I don't doubt anything that Lieutenant Colonel Ford is telling us. I think all of that is probably accurate. But these are not the first messages and the first reports that have gone to the Air Force about this particular situation.
No, they're not. There have been GAO reports come out that warned of different, that raised questions about the culture, about the attitudes, and that sort of thing. However, as Ms. Fowler indicated, when you have a turnover of leadership, I guess there's a sense, you can understand how somebody would drop the ball, perhaps. Now, that's not maybe an excuse, but that seems to be what happened. I don't know how to explain how the Air Force knew these things through the years and never was able to adequately address it.
Mm-hmm. Let's get a caller on the line. Victoria joins us from Albany, Georgia.
Hi, Neil.
Hello.
Man, I'm so proud to be on.
That's nice of you.
I have a lot of friends in the military, and, you know, I mean, they're spread out among all the branches, Air Force, Marines, everything. And the one thing that they all have in common is when I talk to them about what's going on in the Air Force right now is they all know they either have heard of or have witnessed aggressive behavior by some of the cadets on the women, or they've heard stories of rape, of gang rapes, of brutalization, stuff like that. And I'm kind of sick about it because I was heavily recruited by the military at one point, and it was because of those friends of mine that I definitely didn't go in.
Sounds like you're raising a couple of recruits of your own there.
Well, no, it's just that, you know, the stories that my friends would tell me would not only make me really upset about, you know, what's going on in our militaries, which are supposed to be standard bearers, really, because especially since they're paid for by American citizens, but it also makes me think, you know, if this is the kind of socialization that we see in the supposed cream of the crop, the military universities, then, I mean, let's look at how it goes on at other institutions. You know, at your Big Ten schools, at your Ivy League schools.
And those are very good questions, Victoria, and it's certainly a question that we're going to take up in other programs, but we're trying to focus on the military today. So let me just turn to Lieutenant Colonel Ford, and I know it's got to be painful to hear your branch of the service that has acquired that kind of a reputation, and obviously you're going to try to repair it. You know, I guess, the question that Victoria is putting to you is, if you had a daughter of a certain age, would you want her to go to the Air Force Academy? Would you want her to enlist?
Yes. I mean, we're creating an environment, or want to create an environment, where women do feel comfortable coming, if they do get attacked, where they can feel comfortable coming forward. But overall, we're not going to tolerate a criminal attack. Unfortunately, we hear these reports, and we're going to act on them when they come to our attention. We're committed to doing that.
Victoria, thanks very much for the call today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And we're the ones who are honored, by the way. Take care. And Lieutenant Colonel Ford, thank you very much for your time today. We appreciate it. I know
Sure. You're
busy today.
Okay, thank you.
Lieutenant Colonel Dewey Ford is a spokesperson for the United States Air Force. He was with us from his office in the Pentagon in Arlington, Virginia. And let's get another caller on the line. And this is Sabrina, and she's with us. Sabrina, are you there? No, I've apparently messed up. Okay. And let's go instead to Jennifer, who's with us from Oklahoma City.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air, Jennifer.
Great. I'm so happy. I've never called into TOTM, but I listen to you all the time.
Well, thank you very much.
I wanted to say that I've been in the military for 10 years now, in the Air Force, active duty. I did not go to the academy, but I've worked with the other services a lot, and the Air Force is by far the best and most aggressive as far as supporting women and encouraging them in leadership and handling any, you know, misappropriation or misactions by any other military member that I've seen in any other service. And 10 years ago, when I came into the military, I was a second lieutenant, brand new in the Air Force in a heavily dominated male career field, aircraft maintenance. And I was assaulted. I had a young gentleman grab me from behind. And I thought, you know, probably as many of these young women at the academy think, that I'm an officer, I can handle this, and I will take care of this myself. I was later asked, you know, I didn't report it to anybody, but I was later asked, you know, what had happened. And I told a couple of my senior officers, whereas I thought it was a mild incident that I could handle myself, they took it extremely seriously. This was 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And told and taught me at that point, you know, how serious that action was. I wasn't raped. There was no, you know, real serious offense. I was just grabbed from behind. But their actions and their response was way more than I would have expected.
Which suggests that if this was going on at the academy, it's not true of the Air Force as a whole.
Definitely not. I don't think so at all. I'm still in aircraft maintenance, still a heavily dominated male career field. I'm a senior leader there, and I'm well-respected, as well as most of the women that work there. I do not see, you know, these allegations are very surprising to me. And also what's more surprising is the lack of response, since what I was met with 10 years ago was a very well-defined response, quick response, and serious, serious response to what I brought forward. So this is very surprising to me that, that it's not that way, and disappointing, too, that it's kind of being presented as Air Force whole thing or a military whole thing, even at that, because, like I said, I think the Air Force, as far as any other services, is definitely leaps and bounds ahead of them with women's issues. And like I said, it's just disappointing to hear that.
Well, thanks very much for the call, Jennifer. We appreciate it. These kinds of things aren't easy to talk about, but
thanks for taking my call.
We wanted to thank you very much. Somebody who knows a thing or two about women in the military is Congresswoman from New Mexico, Heather Wilson. She attended the U.S. Air Force Academy and was captain and member of the Air Force from 1982 to 1989. Now a member of the Armed Services Committee, the first woman veteran ever to be elected to Congress. And she's with us from her office on Capitol Hill. And Congresswoman, thanks for joining us. Excuse me, Heather Wilson, are you there? We're obviously having a technical issue trying to get Congresswoman Wilson on the line with us from Capitol Hill. But let's introduce another of our guests. Joining us is Captain Rosemary Mariner, retired aviator with the U.S. Navy, and now teaches military history at the University of Tennessee and is a fellow at the Center for the Study of War and Society. She joins us from her office in Knoxville, Tennessee, and welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Thank you, Neil. Good afternoon.
Okay. You've had firsthand experience as a woman in the military, obviously in a different branch of the service. The stories that you're hearing today, different from what you observed or heard when you were in the Navy?
The scope of this is different than what we dealt with in the Navy during my time. But the general problems of leadership, tolerating deviant behavior all the way to absolute misconduct and criminal acts, that is not a new story, and it is, I think, a credit to the panel that they identified these leadership failures so strongly and recommended that accountability be held on those in the top leadership positions as well as the cadets.
Given what we just heard in that phone call from Jennifer, does it also surprise you that some segments, some units, respond much better to these situations than perhaps the academies do?
No, it doesn't surprise me, because in many ways the military academies are almost separate institutions from the active duty services and the reserve forces. That goes back to the rather controversial history of military academies in the early 19th century, and a fear that came from British experience that military academies would create an officer aristocracy that would hold itself above the law. And that the purpose of military academies, therefore, was to create not only a solid professional officer corps, but to also make sure that they had learned all the lessons of Republican government and were better and more honorable than the general public.
We're speaking with Rosemary Mariner, who retired from the U.S. Navy with the rank of captain, a former naval aviator. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And I understand that Congresswoman Wilson is now with us from her office on Capitol Hill. Good to have you back.
Neil, it's good to be with you.
Good to see you. Could you just give us your reaction to the report that was issued yesterday by the Fowler Commission?
I thought it was a good report and very comprehensive, but it was also very and deservedly damning of the Air Force leadership over a period of almost 10 years. I think this is the first indication that we've had on Capitol Hill of information that the Air Force, including senior leadership in the Air Force, knew of this problem within the Pentagon and did almost nothing to deal with it.
This is clearly a serious problem and is going to require accountability. Does it raise questions in your mind, and given your experience at the Academy? I mean, A, did you experience anything like this when you were there? And does it raise questions in your mind about whether the Air Force is doing enough to make sure that the idea of women in the military is the norm?
With respect to my experience there, of course, I was in the third class with women. So in some ways, you know, there was such a bright spotlight on everything that was going on at that in those early years I think that maybe this was something that developed later when people just weren't paying as much attention. I certainly did not ever feel unsafe at the Academy. and was never assaulted, nor did I know any of my friends who were, although you know, it could be that they were and never said anything. But I, having talked to some of my classmates since all of this came out, haven't found a classmate from those early years who was. This seems to be, and the commission seems to focus on the 1990s, that things got seriously off track. And not only with respect to assault, but also the environment as a whole, where one in four men at the academy still think that women shouldn't be at the Air Force Academy. And this is after, you know, there have now been more co-ed classes to graduate than there were just male classes in the 50s and 60s. So
we have an email question on that subject, and I'd like both of you to address it. Obviously, it's specifically about the Air Force Academy. But this from Rose Campion in McMinnville, Oregon. Did I hear correctly that a survey found 25% of the male cadets didn't want women at the academy? How did they get into the academy in the first place? Isn't there a way to screen out applicants who are opposed to sharing their education and military service with women? And Congresswoman Wilson, why don't you go first?
Well, I was struck by that number, too. And certainly when I was there and when Rosemary was starting through pilot training, there were a lot of men in the military who didn't think women should be in the military, that this expansion of roles wasn't proper and so forth. But, gosh, I really hoped that by now we'd gotten far beyond that. I mean, we have women in virtually every position in the service now, in the Air Force. 99.9% of the jobs are open to women, and they're doing a great job. So,
Captain Mariner, did you want to get in on this?
Well, I agree with what Heather is saying. My only concern would be the social conservatives raised quite a fuss after the first Gulf War, about women and women's role in the military. And I think some of that may have created a backlash at the military academies that had disappeared and then come back. Also in the Navy, you had the situation with the tailhook scandal, which caused a lot of ill feelings amongst people that in many cases were victims of a rather vindictive interviewing process. So that kind of animosity being stirred up by outside factors may have been turned against women. The other visible sign, figuratively and literally, that needed to come down was the bring me men, because that was one of those obvious statements that women didn't belong.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the fact that that has come down is going to be a big improvement at the academy.
I don't think we should minimize how hard it is going to be for the services and for the service academies to change this culture. It's always easier to start a culture. It's a lot tougher to change it. And what I'm concerned about is, you know, the spotlight at the moment is on the Air Force Academy, but I think the military more generally and frankly the other service academies may be, you know, today there's a sigh of relief that they're not the ones.
We're going to continue this discussion after a short break. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Tomorrow, healthcare rationing, plus part three in our series on smart money management. Elise Glink joins us for a discussion of investments in the stock market. That's tomorrow on Talk of the Nation. Today, we're discussing whether problems of sexual misconduct at the United States Air Force Academy is a matter of culture, whether it can be changed, and how much of a problem it represents for the military as a whole. Our guests are Captain Rosemary Mariner, a retired aviator in the United States Navy who teaches military history at the University of Tennessee, and Congresswoman Heather Wilson of New Mexico, a former captain in the U.S. Air Force and herself a graduate of the Air Force Academy back in 1982. And let's get right to another caller. And Randy's with us from Allegan, Michigan.
Hello.
Hi, Randy. You're on the air.
The question that comes to my mind is the same one that comes to mind with the clergy scandal. Why don't these victims just go to the police immediately?
Randy, that's a good question. When this initially came up, my husband, who's in the Air Guard and a judge advocate general, said, you know, on any military base, women would call the security police. At the Air Force Academy, the security police are not in the cadet area, and it is more natural for the cadets to report to their chain of command or to call. But this was part of the problem, was there was the counseling center wasn't coordinating with the chain of command or with special investigations or with the security police. And as a result, law enforcement was often not involved until very late. And it's unlike the rest of the Air Force system and probably shouldn't have been that way at all.
Rosemary Mariner, let me ask you. We had some reports of women who then, underclass women, who went to their elders, women who'd been at the academy for a while, and said, what should we do? And got advice that they shouldn't do anything.
Well, I think that goes back to how deep and systemic these leadership failures were, because not only do you have the issue of the active duty uniform leadership at the academy, but you also have the cadet corps themselves and how that system is maintained. And you need to make sure that there is experienced adult leadership supervising what the cadets do themselves. Now, if you're going to target somebody to commit a criminal act, and you're thinking about your victim, you would pick somebody that is vulnerable, maybe has already committed an infraction that you can use to essentially blackmail them so that if they do report it, that worse things will happen to them than if they be quiet. And if that situation had been going on for some time and the more senior women had that low level of confidence in the leadership, that might have been the kind of advice that they passed along. Yeah, you can report it, but if you do, you're going to ruin your career.
Hmm.
But there's also, for the young cadets, even the women, the senior women in that circumstance, there's also a leadership lesson that the academy should be teaching its potential young commanders, and that is that if this is your command, you've got a responsibility as a leader to make sure not only your people are safe, but that people are following the law. And advising somebody who is junior to you to not report a serious violent felony is in itself a failure of leadership. And so this became just out of control, seems to me.
But the circle seems to go ever wider when you've got part of the psychology, the experts tell us, is that a wide circle of men tend to get involved in this, either directly or indirectly, because then they're implicated in a way. And if they didn't participate, well, they tolerated it. And in this case, it seems to be that some of the women have been drawn into this circle of forced tolerance, if you will.
And also afraid of retaliation. And I think, you know, you've got upper-class women saying, probably giving their honest opinions about how the leadership is going to react and the failure of the system to protect victims, and they're probably very right in their gut reactions. But the flip side of this is they have a responsibility as leaders in the Air Force and potential young officers in the Air Force, where you cannot tolerate felonies and ongoing assault within your unit. They're just inconsistent and incompatible with military service.
When Randy made the analogy to the scandal with the clergy and the Catholic Church, the issues of moral courage and moral responsibility and the failure of top-level leadership are right on, because it's exactly the same set of principles, and the difference between what is practiced and what the the high principles are of the institution.
I think there's one other thing that we know from this report that came in yesterday that we really didn't know the full scope of before, and that is how far up in the Air Force itself they knew about this problem. The Surgeon General, the Inspector General of the Air Force, the Judge Advocate General of the Air Force, multiple task forces within the headquarters of the Air Force at the Pentagon knew that they had a serious problem, and none of them effectively addressed it.
Let's get Mark on the line, and Mark's with us from Denver, Colorado.
Yeah, good afternoon. This is Mark. I am a West Point graduate, class of 91. I served on a committee called the Corbin Seminar, which is involved in the assimilation of women into the service academies. And one of the things that has struck me about this, because I'm asked quite a bit, that if this is going on at Air Force Academy, obviously it must be going on at West Point or at Naval Academy as well. And having been with people from the other academies discussing this issue and what happens at the other academies, I have a comment, and I'd just like to get a reaction toward this, is that given the culture of the environment at the Air Force Academy or anywhere really, and I'll throw this out there, where aviators are involved, that there seems to be a focus on the individual pilot. And that because of that, you've created a culture of excessive, perhaps, egomaniacism where people can go ahead and feel like they are above the law. Whereas with the with West Point and the Army, it seems as though there's a focus towards the group and a team effort and less on any certain one individual as being the person that we're all focused towards. And I'd just like to get a comment on and see if anybody has a comment about that.
Well, first we'll go to Congresswoman Wilson, who, of course, we mentioned was a graduate of the Air Force Academy and served in the Air Force for, what, 4 or 5 years?
7 years as an officer. Mark, I take your point that there is a different culture in the Army from the Air Force. But I have a colleague here who's in the Congress who's a 1980 graduate of West Point, and there's a circle of his friends who said, boy, none of this stuff ever went on at West Point. And one of his female classmates said, yes, it did. I was assaulted.
Hmm.
And that immediately in that room, everybody got quiet. And it was obviously has been a serious problem at the Air Force Academy that leadership did not address. But we need to not rule out the possibility that this can spring up anywhere, I think, where women are a small minority in a very closed system.
Captain Mariner, obviously he left out the Navy. Yeah.
There is a long perception there. And there is some accuracy to it. But it gets back to a problem with anything that is a self-selecting elite, in which people believe they're special and they bond as a group and their loyalties are to each other above to the institution and to the country. So that is something that all military institutions and hierarchies like churches have to carefully watch out for, because people will have misplaced loyalties, and once you start thinking you're better than everybody else, then you start thinking maybe you can get away with things that other folks can't.
Right. It's just kind of a follow-up comment to that.
And keep it quick, Mark.
Right. Given that we really haven't seen a scandal like this since Tailhook, and oddly enough, you see it again, the idea of the perception of the individual pilot being toward the focus of the organization, that this is more of a systemic problem that is based on the culture and less on something that happened here and there, and it's not really a full issue.
Okay. Mark, we're going to have to leave it there. We appreciate your phone call, though.
Thank you.
And the time of our two guests, Congresswoman Wilson, it's always good to talk with you.
Thank you.
Heather Wilson is a Republican from New Mexico, also a former captain in the United States Air Force. Captain Mariner, good of you to join us today.
Well, thank you.
Rosemary Mariner is a retired aviator in the United States Navy, teaches now military history at the University of Tennessee. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.